This call is now being recorded.
Awesome.
All right.
Hi.
Hi, we're here.
Hello. How's it going?
Good, how are
it's
you?
Going great.
Good. I just want to start by saying, first of all, thank you for talking to me.
How dare you?
That's Danny, by the way. That's Danny saying, how dare you. This is Darren saying, thank you for talking to us.
Thank you for clarifying. Danny, you're on friendship suspension for like 5 minutes, okay?
Okay, fair enough.
I just want to say this. This film for me was like very like quintessentially New York, which is a total compliment, obviously. It's beautifully shot, spot on pacing. It's just really great. And
we were aiming for quintessentially Boston. So I think we failed.
Failure. Yeah. Oh, next time, guys. Next time.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But also, I want to say thank you for writing like a really interesting female character for Amber, because she's pretty great, and so it was really nice to see that in there too.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, we tried.
We set out to write an interesting female character, and so it's very very nice to hear you say that.
Yeah. So you won there. Good job.
Great.
Yeah. So talk to me about the development of the script and how your personal relationship began.
Sure. Darren and I met when we were 6 years old. Both of our parents were in the PTA together and would drag us to meetings at the local elementary school.
So we actually met at a PTA meeting.
We met at a PTA meeting.
Not as parents, obviously, as six-year-olds.
PTA meeting.
Born together, and we were initially sort of like bully and bully. We were bully and bully. bully and bully.
Yeah.
Got it.
Oddly, Danny's the smaller one, and he was the bully.
I was the bully. I was a reptilian.
And I was the bully-e. But eventually, we ironed out our differences, and
yeah.
I grew a little larger.
And that became impossible.
Asserted my
physical dominance.
Physical dominance. That has little to do with the origin of the movie, though. That's the origin of us.
Yeah, the origin of the movie is we were in New York writing another script and having some trouble with it. And, we were both around 29, 30 and sort of dealing with the transition between boyhood and manhood. And
mostly with our lack of transition between
right.
boyhood and manhood at that point. And wondering why that transition had not come to us. And one day a friend of ours who had lived in New York for many years, and we being Jews are lovers of New York, he had this idea to walk the length of Manhattan, which was immediately appealing to us because A, we could walk the length of Manhattan, and B, we wouldn't have to write for that entire day. We could escape the hell that
drudgery.
Is attempting to write a screenplay. And so we did. There were four of us, four guys, all friends, starting on 225th Street, right at Broadway Bridge, going down to Battery Park. We had an amazing day, and at some point during that walk, Danny and I were like, why are we writing whatever the hell this other movie is? We should take all these themes and ideas we've been wrestling with and make it into a road trip movie on foot. And so we just shifted gears that day and decided to write this one instead.
That's awesome.
It was pretty great.
And, go ahead.
Yeah. Come on. No, I've got nothing else to say.
No, it's super successful, and it's incredibly, like, it resonates, I think, for any of us who have, perhaps like gone to school here and then like just sort of jumped into the city environment and thought like, what the hell are we doing? Like, how are we surviving? And I think it's just a crazy place to sort of make life decisions and sort of transition to, from your 20s to your 30s. It's like, I look around and think, how the hell are we all doing this? And so it was really
Darren and I talked a lot about how the city itself in its, construction, even the old splattered upon the new, that messiness is something that for us thematically resonates with the whole idea of the movie, which is that we are both child and adult at the same time, and I think the city kind of reflects that, and you have a building that's 100 years old right next to a building that's 2 months old, and all the vibes of those different eras being smashed together as well.
Yeah, and it really allows you to do that, too. I mean, you know, there's so many different opportunities. There's something always going on here. And so you can go out at night and be an adult, or you can go out at night and be a kid. And it sort of just gives you permission to do that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So technically you guys are both in the film, which is awesome.
Uh-huh.
And was that always like a plan, Darren, for you to place yourself in that role?
Well, as Daniel likes to say, I'm kind of a born pirate.
He really
is. So I think it's a natural fit, really.
Fantastic.
It was not always our plan for me to play that part. As the script evolved, we kind of discovered that part for me. We knew that Danny was going to play Billy. I mean, we really largely based the character of Billy on Danny.
Right.
And every irritating and grating aspect of Billy, I would say.
Fantastic.
Case in point. There were times when I wasn't going to play any part. There were times when I was going to play one of the four main guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually it sort of evolved into Zeke. The character that I played Zeke at one point was written as like a kid.
Yeah, originally it was this 15-year-old like drug dealer.
Yeah.
Named Zeke.
Obviously, it was a very different scene. He was not the father of a child in a Central Park birthday party. But you know, things change in the writing process.
You should keep that character for another one though. That's genius.
We'll put that in every one of our films.
Fantastic.
And no matter what scenario, he will be in that pirate costume.
Yes.
It's good. It's good stuff. It's really interesting because that's a moment where it's like they're sort of faced with the grown-up mentality of like, here's where my shit is at the moment and welcome to it soon. And so it was really nice like juxtaposition of like where everybody was at the moment. I was a great – that scene's really good. It's really good.
Well, thanks. And like, and it's interesting that you say that because I think that Zeke is someone who has made the mistake of thinking that he has to behave a certain way. That, you know, that speech that he gives lamenting about how they used to have brunches and boys' breakfast. I think he's fallen into the trap that society has kind of set for all of us that like, oh, we have to, there are things that we can no longer do once we reach X age or once Y happens to us. And I think that's the source of his unhappiness, actually.
He also seems to be in a not great marriage based on that little snippet of
stuff
we get with him and his wife. But yeah, I mean, I think that for us, that scene, like, we do not have children. We are both married, though we were not married at the time that we first started writing this. But, like, over the course of writing this script, a lot of our friends were getting married and having kids, and we found ourselves going to events with, like, children and whatnot. And when you are young and still single and, like, living the non-married, non-parent life, there is something kind of nightmarish about going to this kind of event and seeing what the future holds. That, at least for us, anyway. And
I get that.
Yeah.
No, I totally get that. Did you guys, I don't think the two characters interact in that scene. Did you guys just swap off, you know, one was in the director chair and the other during that particular scene, or in general?
I think there's one shot. There's where I first come in. Danny and I have a quick interaction, and then he's off camera.
Well, the scene when you arrive at the picnic table,
yes.
I'm in that scene.
Yes.
So we are in one scene together, but like in our first movie, Humboldt County, we both took supporting roles in that film and we were always on screen together. And I think we had decided somewhere along the way that it would make things a lot easier on us if we could alternate. So that's exactly right.
Awesome. Because you guys are so close, did that sort of let you both put your guards down in respect to improving?
We'd always planned to do a fair amount of improvisation on the film. You know, I mean, this is a low budget picture, so the schedule was very tight, and you can't do as much improv as say a Judd Apatow might. But
when you're shooting a movie in 19 days, which is how much time we had to shoot this, it's really about it's like two or three takes. So you have to make sure if we had nailed it in the first two takes, maybe we could get a third take where we could improvise. But that was unfortunately more rare. I mean, we were lucky in that we had a great cast and we did have a little bit of time to rehearse a couple of days before we started shooting, and we actually walked a big chunk of the island with the actors 2 days before shooting and recorded a lot of the things that they would say, just little interactions, and we were able to kind of infuse elements of that back into the script. So I think it has a really improvised feel to it, but actually it's not all that improvised.
Yeah. No, it's great. Yeah, it does have an improvised, but it's very comfortable. It doesn't seem like, yeah, there's just something about it that just seems so incredibly natural. So I guess that rehearsal time was, that's really clutch.
Well, we wanted the film to really feel organic and unfold where you didn't even realize that the plot was kind of happening. We wanted it to be very kind of subtle in that way, which is partly why we wanted to start the movie where they're already, you know, they're starting the journey as opposed to meeting them separately in their respective apartments. We just wanted it to kind of start and then let the audience kind of slowly catch up to what's going on.
Yeah, a movie that we watched a lot in the writing of this, although our movie is fairly different, but is the Cassavetes film Husbands, which is pretty experimental. But the thing about watching most Cassavetes movies is, as an audience member, you never feel the machinations of the plot clicking in like you do in very many movies where you can just sort of feel the engine of the plot. And we were really interested in that. Like the idea of when you do, if anyone actually does do this walk or walk 100 blocks or 200 blocks, things just unfold. They just sort of happen. You encounter surprises. You are diverted for reasons you could not have predicted. And that was the feeling we wanted to infuse in the film.
Yeah, no, you very much get that from go. And I really appreciated that we were just like, here we go, you know, this is what we're doing. I liked that a lot. I thought that was really great.
Cool.
The locations, how hard was it to get permission to shoot? You guys had a lot of locations.
We did. We had a lot of locations by the nature of the concept.
We had 57 locations in 19 days.
Yeah.
Holy wow.
There were difficult things and unexpected things about it. For example, you know, having never shot a film in New York before, there's this thing called the hot list. This is a little insider baseball, but there's this thing called the hot list that the city puts out every 3 months, which are neighborhoods that you're not allowed to shoot in based on complaints from the residents and how often there's been production going on in those neighborhoods. And you don't know what's going to be on that list until it comes out. And so about 2 weeks before we started shooting, there was a whole hot list that came out that kind of screwed us with, we were going to shoot a bunch up in Inwood in the northern tip of the island, and that was suddenly off the table. So we had to find a lot of replacements for that. But outside of that, the city is very amenable to shooting. We were able to pretty much shoot wherever we wanted. I mean, we shot in Midtown, we shot, you know, in
St. John's Cathedral.
In St. John's
Cathedral. I know that our locations manager and producers and production team had to pull strings to get some of the interiors and, you know, really work it. Because a place like that and even the Coronet Pizza in Columbia, like, it's amazing how many places that were in the script that we actually shot in the actual location.
I mean, there
were a few places here and there where
we were expecting a lot more pushback than we got, but it was actually pretty great.
That's awesome. This game that you guys play, the mm-hmm. gun to the head game, is amazing.
Yeah.
Please tell me that is something that you just have been playing forever.
We've been playing that. I mean, it's so weirdly specific.
I love it.
Yeah, it's so weird. I mean, obviously it's a bastardization of the would you rather, but like, I don't know where and when and how we started presenting it as a robber coming to your house and putting a gun to your head and offering up these really ridiculous things. But and the particular situation that they present in the movie of taking two cars for a year or shooting in a bathtub is an exact one that we've been talking about for years. If you had, like, anybody that we would meet, we would pose that to. To me, it's a real mirror onto what kind of person you are.
It's so amazing, and I love in the script that you involve the family into this conversation. And I just think that's so amazing because I think also like when you get to our age, you know, like when you're in your 30s, at some point you realize, you know, your families become your adult friends, and
right.
you begin to cross boundaries with them that you never thought that you would, as far as like subject matter you talk to them about, or like you just stop caring in a way.
Yeah.
So I really liked that scene a lot at the dinner table, and as it extends, the dad keeps coming back with more scenarios. That's
yeah. That's Josh Mostel, who
so
is
great.
A great, great actor.
So great.
He's been just he was wonderful.
He was awesome. So the art that you guys put in with the map, I am obsessed with, and I kind of want to know, one, how I can get it, and two, like, are you guys planning on, like, maybe putting that in somehow in, like, a DVD, or, because it's just so great.
Thanks a lot. The original is that at your mom's house, Darren?
Are you talking about the art that's in the movie, or the actual, like, the title card?
I'm talking about the map.
Oh, the maps. Oh, so those, yeah, we had those done by this, was it?
I'm looking at, his name was Christopher Strom.
Christopher Strom, and he's, where is he, in Europe somewhere?
He's somewhere in Europe.
We've actually never met him
never
in
met
person.
Him. Yeah.
That's like movie making 21st century. We found him through one of our producers, and we had a phone conversation, but it was mostly emails where we sort of were talking about what we wanted. If and when this comes out on DVD, I think that makes a lot of sense to, I'm sure there'll be some kind of integration of that map. But it doesn't exist in any physical form. I mean, it's
only a digitally created map, by Christopher Strom, sort of inspired by the vibe, you know. I mean, obviously it's somewhat inspired by Jake the artist and like what would be in his new book and all that jazz, but, it's funny because I love it also. One of the reasons that we did it was that we knew that the people who had not lived in or been in New York would also be watching this movie. And the geography of this movie is kind of essential in understanding the progress that the guys are making. And so we were like, we need to orient people who don't really even understand that New York is an island with a grid system, so that they can, you know, they can follow along and have a sense of how far the guys are going. And there was a long time when we were editing before we had these graphics, and we would just have title cards where it would just say, like, white letters on a black screen. It would say the neighborhood and then how many blocks to go. And inevitably, you'd have people be like, "What? Where is this neighborhood? I've never heard of this neighborhood. Where is this? What is this? I'm confused." And so it was like, it is both aesthetically pleasing and extremely helpful in orienting the audience.
Yeah, no, it's perfect. And I'm watching it. I'm like, okay, I need this map so I can do this exact trek. Like, it made me so excited to do this.
I mean, it's something we've now done it maybe 8 or 9 times total. And I think it's something that everybody should do, especially New Yorkers. I mean, we talk a lot about how one of the great things about doing the walk is the in-between neighborhood blocks, when you get to bleed from the vibe and culture of one neighborhood to the other. And those are the kinds of areas that you'll take the subway to Harlem, or you take the subway to X, Y, Z, but it's never like what's halfway in between those neighborhoods. And
it's very rare that you'll walk from like 150th to 125th on Broadway. But like that 25 block range, like below Washington Heights and above Harlem, or at least you know, in between there, is amazing. And it doesn't feel like any sort of traditional New York that you have seen in movies, or even, you know, it doesn't feel like your neighborhood. But it's got a unique character, and that was one of the things that we first noticed when we did the walk, and that we wanted to try to depict in the background of these guys and their journey.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, in college I lived up there, so I totally know that crazy shift of like walking from one neighborhood to the next. And if you're not paying attention to the streets, you just sort of at some point you look up and you're like, whoa, this is completely different than 3 blocks ago. And such a charming thing about this city that people don't understand is that, you know, it's 12 miles long. It's an actual island, but it's like a bazillion different countries all in one island.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, we wanted to, you know, if on your 12th viewing of this movie, hopefully, you will notice that in the background there's culturally specific music and languages being spoken that we filled in the sound design for to kind of give that subconscious feel, at least.
Yeah,
changing
it's super smart. No, I caught that. It's super, super smart. And that's why, for you know, as someone who, you know, went to school here and has been living here, and, you know, you want to show people who, like, quote-unquote, don't get New York. So we're always, mm-hmm. like, questioning, like, why are you living there? It's super expensive. I'm like, because it's New York. Because you can get whatever you want 24 hours a day, and everything is right here. It's like the capital of the universe for me, you know? And so this was such a great example of why the city is so amazing and, like, surrounding this great story of this, you know, stuck in between Gen X and Gen Y, and what are we doing and how do we fix it or how do we not? Just everything about it just really resonated with me personally, and so I'm super excited to tell people about it.
Oh, thanks. We really appreciate that. You know.
We appreciate it. As you know, independent films like ours, we need people to help us spread the word, so we are appreciative.
My absolute pleasure. I don't know if they're going to steal you away yet. I don't know how much time we have.
You have 8 more minutes.
Fabulous. Talk to me about the casting process. Did you have people in mind while you were writing, or are you just sort of like, here's what we're doing, and maybe we can get people to fit in?
We did have people in mind, but they weren't actors. They were friends of ours. The each of the main characters is based roughly on a good friend of ours.
Or an amalgamation
of a couple. And, you know, even Gunderson, even the Wyatt Cenac role is based on a good friend of ours, if you can believe it. And then the casting was, you know, our casting director on this was A.V. Kaufman, who's just one of the best in the business, and she's New York-based and really amazing. And she, you know, would be really helpful to us in that, knowing a lot of the actors personally, she could really give us insights into how they might get along on screen. And
we always thought of the cast as an ensemble.
For sure.
You could never just think of one guy by himself, but it was really, how would they interact? Because the only way the movie's going to work, a la Husbands, is if you believe in this friendship and you see this natural kinship among guys who aren't lifelong friends. Because we weren't going to have 6 months to get along, or even 2 weeks to put them all in a house and have them live together, like other movie, like The Big Chill. I was jealous of reading about how in The Big Chill they all lived in a house for like 2 weeks and became best friends, and then they
Darren's mentioning the ensemble is right. We really thought of it like we were putting together a little chamber quartet, and it's like you couldn't have three violins and a bass. You needed to have those different musical sounds that would all kind of mesh together. And so I obviously was going to play Billy, but Adam Brody was the first one that came on in the role of Rock. So once we had those two elements, it was really about filling out who would be good, you know, musically almost around those us two. And Josh Lawson was somebody that we weren't that familiar with. He's on a Showtime show called House of Lies with John Cheadle, and Avi knew him, and he came in and auditioned and really blew us away. And then Wyatt is someone we've had our eye on for a while.
Saw him in a film several years back at South by Southwest when our last film was there, called Medicine for Melancholy, and he was unbelievable in it. Just a completely different from his Daily Show comedy persona. He showed a real depth of character and ability to a real acting ability, and so it was amazing actually the way that it worked out in this film was that he at first was not going to be able to do it because we were shooting during the Democratic and Republican National Conventions on the Daily Show. He wasn't able to get away, but it worked out in the end, so we got really lucky, I think, that we got this cast together.
Yeah, that's amazing. Like, yeah, everybody just, you guys look like you have been friends forever. And so it was just nice to watch. I actually was like watching this. I'm like, who do they actually like hang out in real life?
That was the goal. And, you know, it was, it, what was What was tough about...
We all did during shooting. I mean, during shooting, there was quite a bit of socializing.
But what we were, you know, and also, like, the point in their friendship narrative that the guys are at in the movie is actually a really kind of complex one to kind of express, because they have been friends forever, but they hadn't seen recently because of life, you know, and Adam Brody's character, you know, dealing with the pregnancy, his impending, you know, birth of his son. They hadn't actually seen each other a lot recently. And so there was both a combination of them having known each other for a long time, but then also having kind of started a little bit to grow apart.
That moment of just like neighborhoods and just like the city, that moment of change and drift in friendships that happens at that age.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, totally. It's funny. I feel like you move to the city with a group of friends, or like progressively people move to the city with you, and you're like, oh, this is great. And then you never see them.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
You could be blocked away and like not see them for a year. And that's so typical here.
Totally.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, since we have a couple more minutes, now would be great to talk to me about the visual art, the paintings and the art. So who was responsible for that?
Well, our production designer was someone named Maya Siegel, who was awesome.
Incredible.
And,
incredible work on no money and no time. She did a great job.
Yeah, and I think she commissioned an artist whose name I don't know, I should know, to help with the creation of a lot of that, the stuff that's in the film.
For both Max McKenzie's work
and Jake's. The challenge for us was, you know, especially with Jake's art, we were interested in telling a story about an artist who was not necessarily a genius, who was good, but not necessarily amazing. That was more interesting to us than telling the story about somebody who is incredible at what they do, which felt like a much easier kind of story to tell. So with his work, we wanted it to seem certainly capable and competent, but maybe a little derivative and not the most original thing that you've ever seen. And that was the real challenge in finding the balance for that stuff. And I think Maya did a great job in executing that.
Yeah, it was really, really interesting and really cool to see the juxtaposition of the two artists, and that realization was great. What was your favorite location to shoot at?
Probably for me, the abandoned building that they come on downtown in the financial district, partially because when we wrote the script, that was originally based on the first time that we did the walk, that was actually going to be at the High Line. And when we wrote the script, it was right when the Highline Park construction was getting started. Mm-hmm. And so there was virtually, the park was not open and very little of it had been built. And so the first time we did this walk, we actually snuck onto the Highline. We climbed a fence and it was still abandoned and overgrown and just like isolated and magical, like above the city, quiet. We were alone. It felt post-apocalyptic, and it was this sort of great moment, two-thirds of the way, maybe three-fourths of the way through the walk, for us to like just take stock in our day. And so we wrote that in the script, not quite knowing what we were going to do, because by the time we were shooting, obviously, there was still part of the High Line that was abandoned, but now it's this lovely park. And our locations manager found this abandoned building, which is literally called the Beekman, and it's on Beekman. I believe it's being turned into condos now. And it just fits so well thematically and just is so awe-inspiring and beautiful and has the exact same emotional impact that the High Line had on us, that it was just exhilarating to shoot there, because I really didn't know what we were going to do. Like, having the guys walk on the High Line Park with all the other people who are walking around the High Line Park would not have been the same.
And I think actually one of the things that's so great to me about that location and so emblematic of something about New York is that that location is geographically about exactly right in terms of where the guys would be on their walk at that point in the day. And the fact that we could find those hidden treasures, it means that to me that there are so many hidden treasures throughout New York that, like, we didn't have to cheat that at all.
Right, we'd have to go to Brooklyn and say, yeah, this is downtown.
It is literally right where it should be.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great statement about how wonderful New York is that those are everywhere.
I'm afraid that's all the time we have for today, Liz.
No, that's awesome. Guys, thank you so much. I am, like I said, I'm super looking forward to telling people about the movie. I think it's quite the gem. And I thank you for making it, and thank you for chatting with me. And hopefully we will talk again soon.
Okay, Liz, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Liz.
Bye, guys. You're welcome.
Bye.
Have a good day.